In 1994, I spent 3 months in a Trappist abbey in Virginia. I was there as an observer. An observer is one who goes in for usually 3 months to kind of look at the life to decide whether or not the individual wants to join them. Obviously, I didn't join them. You know, I was not good enough. I never will be. So, you know, you got the second rate me here, or third rate, whatever. But I remember many things distinctly. It was a wonderful 3 months. I just loved it. And after lunch each day, we would all go back into the kitchen and wash the dishes. That included the abbot as well. And we had 3 sinks. And the first one, I know, had soap. The next one had disinfectant or whatever. But there was one brother who was an amazing artist. He really had a talent, but he was also a little screwy, you know. And that's the genius of real good community. It doesn't matter if you have issues. The community embraces you. You are part of that community. So this one brother we'd be washing, he'd wash a bowl, then he'd kind of throw it up in the air and it'd plop in the sink where you would, you know, get all the soap off, and it would splash. So finally, the abbot said, "Brother, hand it to the person next to you." But that was really the role of the abbot. Abbot meaning father. He was there to correct everyone and to support everyone so that as a community, we could live together in peace and focus on what we were supposed to do. And that's true of our Heavenly Father as well. He corrects us. He gives us the commandments. He gives us rules and regulations so that our community can be healthy and grow appropriately. And so any kind of Christian community, and that's true of other communities as well, there always has to be one or two or more people perhaps to make sure that things are going well. Now, that's certainly the case in monasteries or religious orders or other types of communities where people are living together, because it has to be right ordered, not just for the sake of everything going smoothly, but so that every person can live a joyful, flourishing life. And that's what God wants for us. He wants all of us to live as Christians in a loving community where people love us enough not only to say, "You're doing a great job, that's really good," but also to say, "You know, what you did was wrong. That's wrong." So we need to heal that break, that we have to reconcile with one another. That's part of Christian community. And we sign on to that when we're baptized, when we become members of the community. So Maeve is going to start her journey today. And that includes everything that Jesus did. She will be called to be another Christ in the world. And one of the things he did was to judge and correct. Now, when I say judge, I'm not saying punish, but he did judge. So the woman caught in adultery, when he sent her on her way, he said, "Don't sin anymore." He's making a judgment. What you did was wrong. But he didn't punish her. And that's God. He's patient. So we're supposed to, out of love and a desire for the growth of one another, to make sure that we say what is true and, when necessary, to correct one another. Now, obviously, for that to happen, we really got to know each other well. We really got to grow in our relationship with one another. And I think Catholic churches in general in this country are not there. You know, the Catholic Church, huge, but we go to church on Sunday, then we go home, do our own thing. There isn't that ongoing connection with one another, which really is what God wants. It doesn't mean we're going to give up everything and live directly together with one another, but we have to care about and for one another. So it not only means making sure that my neighbor, and that's really everyone, has what they need to flourish. Do they have enough food? Do they have safe shelter? Do they have medical care? So forth and so on. I mean, how many of us know that about one another? I suspect there are people in our community who may not have sufficient medical insurance. And we're responsible then for them. So that's why we need to get to know one another. And again, too, part of getting to know one another and loving one another is loving one another enough to say, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. Not to shake our finger in their face and to condemn them. Jesus didn't do that. But he did say, that's not what God wants. That's not what the Father wants. And we have to be able to say that too. And of course, it's as Jesus says, if it's one person sinning against us, we have to go to them singly to begin with. But as Jesus says, we may have to get more people involved because it becomes a matter of the health and welfare of the community. Because if we don't have a healthy community, we're not going to be able to go out into the world and make a case for our faith in Jesus Christ. So there's so many levels and levels of commitment that we have to engage in if we want to be a good, healthy community. And part of it is to correct one another. Now, in our world today, you know, people will take things that we believe are absolutely wrong, but they'll say, no, it's my right, or this is how I feel, and you have no right to say anything. And we do have, we have an obligation to say something if what that individual or individuals are doing is harmful. And we know what is harmful. I mean, most of us have been around long enough to see so many things. We know what helps build up people, helps people to be healthy and focused on their faith and be content to be part of a loving community and wanting to share that. And we also know what pulls people away. And we've all got our issues. Maybe not me, but, you know, you know, and getting to know most of you, there's a lot of issues out here. So I can add my 72 to the thing. But that's why community is so important, that we be strong and healthy. I need people to support me and correct me. You need people to do that. We do need that. You know, it's not just something that, you know, maybe difficult or uncomfortable, but it is a need. It is a need. So just as Jesus corrected his apostles, and, you know, sometimes I think you weren't really nice to Peter when you said, get behind me, Satan. Wow, what a correction. Now, I'm not suggesting you say that to anybody, okay, you know. But Jesus did that, and he didn't do it because he didn't like Peter. He loved Peter. But he wanted to make it clear that Peter's thinking at that moment was not the thinking of God. So there again, through baptism, we're supposed to be putting on the mind of Christ, not my mind. You know, I get into, you know, things I'm thinking about and overthinking, and then I say, oh, I just don't want to do it, that sort of thing. But we're supposed to be saying, what is the good of the community? What's at stake? And if we're not sure, talk to someone about it. And not do what we do very easily, gossip, right? That's how we deal with these things. You know, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. Well, do we ever go to that person and ask what's going on, find out maybe, and then be of help to them? And if necessary, to say, you need to be corrected, but we're not just going to send you off alone to deal with it. We want you to come closer to be with us, because we need also to grow with you. We're all in need of growing in our faith and changing. And I've said this again and again, and so a week from today, I'm turning 70. Now, my expiration date is either for 49 more days or 49 more months. I don't know. I couldn't read it quite, you know, so I'm not sure. But I'm thinking, whatever the expiration date is for me, I'm going to be learning if I want. And I know up to this point, God is still throwing me things and saying, hey, did you ever think of this? Just when you think, oh, geez, you know, I can kind of relax. There's no retirement when it comes to Christian community. But we kind of get into the secular understanding when I reach a certain age and I don't get up for work every day, I'm retired, and therefore I've done my bit and you can't expect. No. Actually, retirement should be an opportunity to flourish in all sorts of new ways, to learn new skills. And everyone is needed. Everyone, regardless of who they are, how much they know or don't know, it doesn't matter. Everyone is a gift to the community. So part of our call and challenge is to come together more closely, intimately, find out who one another is, what our needs are, and even freely to say, you know, I have this tendency to sin in this way. Help me. Help me. Now, people ask me that when they come to confession. But it should be all of us should be willing, especially those who have the gift of, let's say, a discernment or listening, to go to another person and say, you know, I have this issue, and to learn from another person, and then to keep on listening and helping one another to grow in our faith so that those areas of sin and temptation lessen. I mean, they'll always be there, but if as a community, and I know I've got people there who are going to help me through this, I'm going to be stronger in my faith. So as I say, with Maeva today, she's starting that journey. Most of us, you know, we're getting towards the end. But until we die, we still have that obligation to do what Jesus did. And again, in today's readings, it is about correction. It is about correction out of love, because we care about people. We don't want people to go into their lives of sin and again and not be warned. And we're even told in Scripture that if we do not confront the sinner, we will be condemned for that sin. So the stakes are very high. But again, it's all based on love, the love of God, that God wants everyone to be saved. We have a choice not to be saved, but that's not what God wants. So we are acting on behalf of God each and every day to make sure individuals and our whole community is healthy so that we can provide a place, a community, where there is healing, where there is reconciliation, where there is compassion, where there is correction. And not to be afraid of it, but to look forward to it, because that's going to make me flourish and grow in my faith more and more each day. So all of us, doesn't matter our age or experience, we have an opportunity each and every day to do what Jesus did, to serve one another, maybe to correct one another, to be compassionate, to heal one another. Do we even know what our neighbors need in terms of healing? Can we pray for that? Can we actually ask God in the moment to heal that individual? But we have power beyond imagination from God. There's no limits to the power God gives us and the authority God gives us in this world to bring about a greater, more healthy and holy kingdom. So as we go forth today, you know, think about your own life, your own need to be members of a community, and what might you do, what steps might you take to be closer to other people and to engage in conversations. You know, it's very easy to go watch the television, look at the computer, but it's that face-to-face that's very important. So what do you need to draw closer to other people? Secondly, what little steps might you take to draw closer to people, to find out who the members are of this worshiping community, and what our needs are, what do we lack, and what can we provide? And if we can't provide it, to go to another member of the community and say, hey, this person needs X, Y, Z, whatever it is. Would you be willing to share what you have with them? And then to thank God for it, to tell the story of how God brought that about, because we need to hear it. I mean, I know, because I'm a priest, and I have the benefit of, let's say, maybe a closer entree into people's lives, I know that some of you do amazing things. Amazing things. I got to get permission to, you know, tell them, but we all should have that. So when somebody says something about us and we say this, we shouldn't be amazed, because, oh, I knew that because they're a member of our community. But that's a healthy community where we're all challenging one another to grow more strongly. So what do we need as individuals to grow? What can I do for other people? And to thank God as we grow for the opportunities to be part of a community, bring the community closer together so that we can show the world what the kingdom of God is supposed to look like. It's supposed to look very much like this community. So as we go out as individuals, but as we come together again as a community, people should be saying there's something going on there that's wonderful. I want to be part of it. So that people will come to know the healing power of God, the love of God, especially through this particular worshiping community at St. Mary Ann Cope.